We're in a weekend right now, Father, where freedom is one of those things that's really on our mind. We're thinking about and honoring the individuals, the men and women who served in our armed forces and who gave their all their lives so that we could sit here this morning in openness and freedom and have a sign out front that says that we're a church and people can come here and worship you and not do so in fear. We know that's not the case in many other parts of the world. And so we celebrate that. We mourn loss that and the great cost, but we celebrate the freedom that we have. We know that you are very familiar with that issue of cost and freedom. For the sake of our eternity, for the sake of a restored relationship with you, you came to earth and you gave your life so that we could be forgiven and adopted into your family and become one of your children. And we're grateful for that. We thank you for this testimony of this woman who experienced the cost of hanging on to things that were destroying her inside and that you gave her freedom. We're going to talk about things that are relate to that, and I'm asking for you to guide this conversation. You know each individual in this room. You know our hearts. You know exactly how the verses, the scripture we're going to look at, how we need to apply it to our lives. So in our relationship with you, help us to do that this morning and guide me as I spend the time talking us through your word. Pray these things in your son's name. Amen. When you grabbed your bulletin this morning, you might have wondered where we were going to go. The title kind of gave the thought that we're heading into finances. And then you saw the scripture and you said, now we're still in the Lord's Prayer, so now I'm really confused at what's going on here. And it may get more confusing before it gets less confusing, to be honest with you. But we are still in the Lord's Prayer. And we're into a section, verse 12. In fact, if you want to, Matthew 6 is where we are. We've been looking through the Lord's Prayer now for, this will be the fourth week, and we're into verse 12 where it starts off with these words, forgive our debts. And remember, we're talking to our Heavenly Father, and so we're saying to Him, Lord, we want you to forgive our debts. And then He goes on and says, as we forgive our debtors. And so we're thinking through, okay, what does this mean? And if you might be jumping ahead of me, and this might be a little bit disturbing to you how He said this, and it'll get even maybe more disturbing as we talk through it for a moment. But, you know, what's this whole idea of debts? Are we talking finances here? You know, is did Jesus in this prayer say, we should talk a little bit about this debt, and how what kind of debt do I owe to God? And all these things are involved that we want to talk through this morning as we work through this passage. In fact, for this Sunday and the next Sunday, we will draw to a close and finish up probably next Sunday. But the Lord's taking a little different direction here. He's still talking about our relationship with God the Father. And remember, that's as we've been walking through that, that's one thing we've realized. And in fact, let me do a little review for us, because as we walk through the Lord's Prayer, here's kind of what we've seen so far. We started off with the first two words, our Father, and talked about the fact that often those are words that are almost skipped past, because it's almost just like, well, that's just the hello. But it's not. It sets the stage for understanding the whole rest of the prayer, this model prayer that Jesus gave His disciples, because they saw as He prayed, it was so different than how they prayed, and they wanted to know what the difference was. So He starts off, and the Our Father, basically, it's a reminder. It's the wording used there as He's reminding us. Jesus said that we are talking to a tender, loving Father, our daddy in heaven. In fact, that's the word. It was the Greek word pater that the little Greek children, young toddlers, would call their daddy as they were trying to get his attention. Pater, pater. Or the Hebrew children would call, Jesus probably used the word Abba, which was the word for daddy. So it's that reminder that we're not talking about this distant, we're not talking about a distant, powerful God who really doesn't care about us, who's just out there and created everything, and He's way too busy to be worried about us. We're talking to this Father who loves us deeply and cares about us individually. And so that's where he starts. And then he moves on. Our Father, and he says, in heaven. And we, again, if you keep this context going and understand that this is a personal conversation, that word does talk. It's used to, at times, to refer to this place. This, in fact, usually when it talks about heaven as the place where the throne of God is, it uses the term higher heaven. But in this realm and in the conversation here, it talks about everywhere, that we're surrounded by the heavens. And so I believe what Jesus is saying there is he's saying, as you talk to your Father, remind yourself that not only does he love you tenderly with all his heart and wants you to know that there's this tender relationship, but he also wants you to know that he's there. And wherever you are, whatever you're walking through, at any moment of any day, in any circumstance, in any part of the world, he's there, and your Father is right there, and you could talk to him right then, right now. That's why I think Paul said, you know, pray to God continually. He's not saying on your knees, eyes closed, hands folded, and, you know, husbands, you might want to try that, just see if your wives are awake driving down the road. Just say, I'm going to, you know, and just see if they're paying attention. No, that's not what he's talking about. But he's saying he's there so you can be in conversation with him all the time. And so that's the emphasis there as we walk on through that. Then he goes on. Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. And we talked about, this is really interesting because it's that word hallowed could also have been translated holy. And you're saying, wait a minute, why are we saying that I hope your name becomes holy or that you become holy? You already are holy. So what's the point of saying it that way? Hallowed be your name. Well, I think the point is, again, because this is a personal conversation that I'm having with my Father, what I'm saying to him is, Lord, you are holy, but I want, as I walk through this day, I love you, and I want my life to represent your holiness. I want you to make me proud of you as my dad. I want people to look at Paul and say, his father, I can tell by the way Paul lives, that he's got a holy father. And so that's what we're saying, is I want your name to be holy because of what, become holy because I live in a way that represents the fact that I have a holy, holy father. In fact, then he goes on, the next phrase ties right in, your kingdom come. Someday there's going to be a literal kingdom here on this earth. He's going to set his kingdom up. But right now, if you are a follower of his, you've declared, you're my king, God. You're my authority. So tied in with the idea of being sure to look to represent his holiness is, Lord, I want to obey you. I want my obedience to you to be like it is in heaven, where they don't question you. They don't say, wait a minute, I don't like this plan, God. Let's try this instead. They know you. They know how much you love them. And then they obey you. You're their authority. And so that's the way I want, Lord. I want my life to reflect the way that they respond to you in heaven. So help me to live that way under your authority to demonstrate that I obey your will in my life as we walk through this day. And then he goes on. Kingdom come, your will be done. On earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And we talked about, and we're at this point last week, I believe it was, probably the thing that most distracts us from all of that other stuff is that daily bread. The thing that I wrestle with so often, that gets my thoughts, my heart off of my God, that causes me to start questioning, does he really love me? You know, is this really true? The thing that can distract me more than anything else is the stuff of life, isn't it? You know, the worries, the concerns, the bills, the mortgage, all those things. And so Jesus is saying, as you talk to your Father, remind yourself he's got all that covered. And so, and also remind yourself that, you know, Lord, it's today. Today's got enough concerns of itself. That's one of the verses in the Bible. And so I don't know what tomorrow holds. I may think I do, but I don't. And I know this thing's coming up here, but you already have it handled. You know what's going to happen. And so for today, help me to trust you and to recognize you have committed yourself to my needs. You're going to provide what I need. Now, my problem is sometimes I get my wants and needs confused. And so God has to clarify that by giving me my needs. And sometimes he gives me my wants because that's a loving father he is. But But so I don't want to be distracted. I don't want the stuff of life to distract me from our relationship. So help me to have that heart. Lord, you're going to take care of my needs. And we'll worry about today. Tomorrow's, that's covered. So all this is leading up in this conversation and a reminder that, and that's why I said it is so dangerous. That's why Jesus, remember as we started this series, before he gets into that prayer, right before that, the where he starts walking through this model prayer, he warns about praying with mindless repetition. And here's my concern is that's how so often we pray the Lord's Prayer. We just rattle it off. And we're not thinking about what it's saying and what we're saying to our Father. And I don't know if Kyle's going to do it again. I'm hoping he does. Didn't know he was going to do it first service. But at the end, he stated the Lord's Prayer. But not in a da-da-da-da-da-da-da. It was thinking. I could tell he was pausing and thinking through what it was saying. And so I'm not saying that there's anything wrong with saying verbatim the Lord's Prayer, as long as it doesn't become this mindless thing that we just throw out there, which so often it is. And so here's this very personal conversation we're having with our Heavenly Father. Now, at this point in the prayer, he goes in a little different direction. It's still about relationship with him. In fact, maybe in many respects more so. It's still continuing that theme about our relationship with our Father. But he's going to address something that can sometimes rob us of that relationship. And so he's going to say, we got to deal with this because this is so important as in that ongoing relationship that I have with my Father. It's so important, excuse me, that we keep this going, that we keep this in the forefront. And so we move into this section here where he says, you know, forgive my debts, Father, forgive my debts as I forgive those who have debts against me. In fact, you know, that's pretty quick, and he doesn't elaborate much because he's going to go on and elaborate a little later. He gets down, I'm sorry for the cough. I don't do about it, but I'm sorry for it. Actually, I got ahead of myself a little bit. All right, so here's the direction we're going the next two Sundays. Today, he's going to bring into this conversation our relationship with others because that's important. We remember when we spent some time a while back looking through the core values of us here at True North, which one of them was connect. And our connect sign, there's the connect sign right there. We understand that in God's heart, he's very concerned about the connection with him, the vertical connection. But he's also very concerned about the horizontal connection, our connection with each other. In fact, they interplay with each other is what we found out. And he's going to reinforce that in this statement in the Lord's Prayer as we look forward to it today. So verse 13, that's what we'll look at next week. And that's we'll talk about the relationship with our heart. There's some inner things that sometimes interfere with our relationship with God too, and that's our relationship with ourselves and things we struggle with. That's going to be a challenging. Look at that verse for a minute. A little challenging, isn't it? We'll talk about this, but why am I asking God? Why would God tempt me? Is kind of the question that hit me when I looked at that verse. I didn't think he was that kind of guy. You mean he's actually trying to tempt me to do wrong? Well, we're going to talk about that. I'm going to leave that hanging for a little while. And you can do some research on your own and see if that's what's going on here. But we'll flush that out next week. So as we talk about our relationship with our own heart and how that interferes or how that relates to our relationship with God. So let's go on, though, now. As he walks through, we're going to look at the relationship with others. And so he talks to that passage, forgive us our debts as we've also forgive our debtors. And then he elaborates on that. He comes back to it a couple verses later. 4, if you forgive men when they've sinned against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins. So he says, let me elaborate on this. I want to make sure you understand what we're talking about here. And he says, let me give you the scenario. Here, this directly affects your relationship with me as your God, is how well you do at forgiving others. Now, Here's the struggle, at least for me, I think, or the question that may be on your or should be on your hearts, and maybe on your hearts, is almost on a weekly basis, I talk about this offer, this gift that's God's offering, don't I? I mean, that's a pretty regular conversation. And that he has actually offered us a gift where he has said, it is our sins that broke the relationship we have with him. But that he offers to forgive us, and I'll say it this way, it is a gift. He says it this way. Paul says it is a gift of God in Romans. And that this gift, it's a legitimate gift. There's no strings attached. There's no, if you do this, this, and this, I'll forgive you. But if you don't, I won't. It's none of that. It is a legitimate gift. There's no hoops to jump through. He's offering you. He says, I want you to be my child. And so I'm offering you, if you'll just accept it, a gift of forgiveness. And when I forgive you, I will adopt you into my family. And we are in relationship with each other. And that relationship will last throughout eternity. So we talk about that. But then we run into this verse and say, well, now wait a minute. Now it sounds like he's putting conditions on forgiveness. So what's going on here? Well, here's the best way I can illustrate it, because it is important to understand this, and we're going to talk through this more, but let me illustrate to begin with this way. A lot of you have children, or grandchildren, and there was a day when they were born into your family. And the moment that happened, there was an established relationship that was going to last for the rest of your lives. They are your family. That's just the way it is. My grandkids, some of our grandkids, in fact, my wife and my grandkids and my son and daughter, they count too, but they're camping this weekend at Branch something up by Lincoln. I'm going to head up there a little later today, but so they're camping, and our one grandson, our youngest grandson in their family is Jack. Some of you have met him. His nickname is Jack Attack. And for reason, I mean good reason. So there are times where I am quite willing to say, that's my grandson, Jack. There are times when I say, I don't know who the kid is. He belongs to them, you know? And so that's it. But the reality is, he's my grandson. I don't care what happens. He's my grandson. And he's Travis and Melissa's son. And that's the way it is. That new birth, in fact, remember in John 3, Jesus gets in this conversation with a Pharisee named Nicodemus. And in John 3, Jesus says this thing to Nicodemus that throws him for a moment. He says, you got to be born again. And Nicodemus says, what are you talking about? You mean I got to go back in my mother's womb and be? No, there's a water birth, then there's a spiritual birth, and you got to be born again. Well, the moment that birth took place when we accepted that offer, that forgiveness that God offered, that he adopts us into his family, a new birth takes place, and from that moment on, it doesn't matter what happens, we're his child. He makes that clear. We will spend eternity with him. But here's the reality, like in any relationship, there are good days in a relationship, there are bad days in a relationship, there are ugly days in a relationship. That's just the reality. And it's the same with God. It doesn't change the fact we're family. But there are times where my relationship with God is not going real well. Not because of him. He's always on the right there. But there are times when it's bad and sometimes ugly. And this is one of those frameworks that is such a big deal that he says, okay, we need to talk about this, because if there's anything that will rob us of the joy and the peace of our relationship with our God, is when something isn't right with someone else. And he makes that clear. This is a big deal. So he brings it into this prayer as he walks through this thing, and he says, okay, this, we're going to talk about forgiveness. That's what, when we talk about debts, we're talking about here is our debts. It's a financial term, but it also is a term that was used in the Word of God in regard, as you see in verses 14 and 15, that is applies to sin, where we have sinned against God. In fact, it's interesting how he does this. Look at his conversation here. He starts off and he says, I want you to understand something. Forgive us our debts. He didn't say, forgive us if we do something wrong, if we sin against you. You know, because later on, he makes it clear when he's talking about debts that he's talking about sin. So he doesn't say, you know, so I don't go to God the Father and Father, if I've offended you, or, you know, if I've done something contrary to your will, if I've sinned against you, if I've done something to harm our relationship. Now, he approaches it as a given. The reality is, day in and day out, Paul Kennedy does some things that are against the will of God. That's just a reality. And so he says, you know, he doesn't say, you know, if you've had a bad day, you know that you've done something wrong. He's kind of assuming at some point in our prayers, we talk to our Father, we need to tell him, say, hey, God, I want you to know I am really sorry for the way I handled that situation with my coworker. I know I shouldn't have done it that way. You know, don't you hate it when someone comes to you and does the, if I've hurt your feelings, you know, if I did something to insult you, and it's like, look, if you're having the conversation, it's because you know you did, you know. You may not agree with me, and frankly, I may not have meant to, but the reality is I'm having the conversation with you because something's wrong in our relationship. So I don't need to do the if thing. I need to say, you know, I think when I said that, it's not what I meant to say, but I'm pretty sure. I mean, I can tell. That's the takeaway of that long language. I can tell I hurt your feelings, and I want you to know I'm sorry. So in this relationship with God, he says, don't use the if word. And quite frankly, I can tell you in any given day, if I take a moment to pause, I can think of the things. I can think of a number of things. There's a lot of things probably I don't even remember. But I can think that, oh, you know what, man. I took out on my wife the fact that I was having a bad time over here. There are always those things. And so he says, so one of the things we want to make sure of is in our conversation with our Father is we keep a short account. Lord, please forgive me for speaking that way to my wife. Forgive me for, you know, reacting that way to my coworker. Forgive me for, you know, honking my horn, that guy, because he didn't get going as fast as I wanted. Forgive me, because I know you don't want me to do that. So he's assuming that we need to talk to God about these kind of things. And I would have been really fine if he just would have stopped there. I can handle that. I have no problem saying, God, yeah, I know. I messed up today. I shouldn't have done that. And that was against your will. Please forgive me. If he just would have stopped there. But then he qualifies it. He says, forgive us our debts as we also forgive our debtors. And then he goes on and says, in fact, God has made this a condition. You know what? If you don't handle things with those individuals you're having a conflict with right now, until it's handled there, it's not handled here. That's just the reality. You are still in sin because you got this thing that you're hanging on to. And it's infecting that relationship, but it's infecting our relationship too, as well. And you know, it's kind of like, but when I heard this, when I read this phrase, it's kind of like, remember as kids, at least here's my mom. My dad didn't do this as much, my mom would. I had two younger brothers, and a younger sister was the baby family. Never had a problem with sister, other than she would wet her bed and then get into my bed. And sometimes do double duty those nights, and so I've never forgiven her for that. But other than that, but my brother, especially the brother closest to me, my brother Mark is 18 months, or there's an 18 months difference. And man, if you would have asked us prior to probably college, do you love your brother? I'm pretty sure I don't. We there was such a competition there. And I will be honest with you, I was the meaner older brother, no doubt about it. If I wasn't honest, my wife would tell you. But, you know, so we get in these fights, especially when you're younger. We get in these fights, and man, we'd be going at it. And mom would step in the middle and grab us, pull us apart, and face us towards each other. And she'd say, now you tell Paul, you tell Mark you're sorry, right now. And here's what I'd do. I'm sorry. Yeah, because I wasn't ready to say I was sorry. I didn't, you know, I really wanted to hit him again. And I'm sure he felt the same way. Well, I kind of felt like that with this, is saying, you know, I want to say, oh, Father, I know that I've sinned against you, and I'm so sorry. And I know somebody. And yeah, I don't want to say that. I don't even want to hear that's involved in this relationship here, and yet it is. He says it is such an important thing to understand that my relationship with God is tied into my relationship with others, and he refers to those, you know, these debts as their sins, their offenses. And you know, when someone's hurt me, I don't want to let go of it. You know, I at least not for a while. I want to be angry for a while. You know, I want to, you know, I want to do the, you know, Lord, I want to please pray for so-and-so that they stubbed their toe, that they, you know, I want, something bad needs to happen because they did something bad to me. And that's what we're talking about here. We're not talking about what we've done to them. We're talking about those individuals who have hurt us, who have insulted us, who maybe have told a lie about us, and we're wrestling. This thing has grabbed our heart and taken a hold of us. And so in this language of debt, we're used to that. In fact, well, you know, a person who's been had an abusive growing up situation, they'll say, they robbed me of my childhood. We're used to that kind of language in the midst of this discussion. I've heard people say that if their house was broken into, it's not so much the stuff, it's this. They've robbed me of my sense of security in my own home because they broke into my place. And so that terminology is familiar to us. Someone has hurt me. They've lied to me. I want some payback. I may eventually it'd be okay, but really I want them to, you know, I want to be angry for a little while. They shouldn't have done that. So that's a turmoil. And Jesus understood that turmoil. And I think that's why he says, hey, man, let me make this clear. For if you forgive men when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men of their sins, your Father will not forgive you. What's going on here? Well, here's what we need to understand, and that's why I made that point in the beginning. This is not talking about our salvation. This is not talking about that moment when we accepted that gift of restored relationship and he adopted us as his child. That's ongoing. There's nothing's going to change that. If you've accepted that gift of forgiveness, you're in relationship with God. You are his child. Nothing can take that away from you. Nothing. You can't even take that. Paul, in Romans 8:28, he goes through all these things that people tend to think, well, God doesn't love me anymore. Or not yet, in Romans 8, the whole thing. And he says, you know, goes through all these things where people have a tendency to say, you know, I don't think God loves me because he's letting this happen. And then in the end, he says, he lists off, can Satan break God's love for us and separate that relationship? Can the demons? Can powers that be? He goes through the whole list, everything. Can hardship? Can poverty? Can nakedness? He goes through all these things where we have a tendency to say, God must not love me because, and he said, can any of that separate you from God's love for you now that you're his child? Absolutely not. And just in case, because what we'll do is say, yeah, but I can. He ends it this way. Nor anything else in all creation can separate you from the love of God. When you've accepted that gift, you are his child. Nothing will change that. But it's just like any other relationship. We can be going through a rough time in a relationship. And God's saying in this passage, a huge issue is this issue of our relationship with others. I got to tell you, nothing can rob us of the peace and the joy of that relationship with God the Father than hanging on to something bitter inside of us. Anger. It just destroys it. It takes it away. And so this is such a big deal that God says, you got to deal with these issues. You got to take care of it. You know, that's why over in 1 Peter, Peter writes to husbands, and he says to the husbands, he says, okay, if you aren't loving your wife the way you should, and man, it's a strong language. He said, in fact, here's the way he puts it in the positive. I was going to put it in the negative. He puts the positive. He said, Peter says, husband, love your wives as Christ loved the church so that nothing will hinder your prayers. Now, that's a positive way of putting it. But let's hear for what it says. It's saying to a husband, if you aren't treating your wife the way you're supposed to, don't bother talking to me. That's what God's saying. Because your prayers are hindered. I don't want to hear from you until you get that relationship right. Because your relationship with her directly impacts your relationship with me. That's tough stuff. You know, over in 1 Corinthians 11, Paul says, you're going to take communion? Don't take communion because that's all about a restored relationship, celebrating God's love and forgiveness. And don't go into that when you know in your heart you're ticked off at so-and-so and you just as soon punch him in the face. As you know, he says, you need to straighten that up. In fact, in the margin of my Bible where we're in this passage and where we're looking at the Lord's Prayer, I wrote the passage Mark 11:25. And I did that a while back, and so I thought, well, okay, what's that say? So I looked it up. Here's what Mark 11:25 says. When you stand praying, if you hold anything against anyone, forgive them so that your Father in heaven may forgive your sins. This is a huge thing. This is a huge thing. But here's what we need to understand. This is not a vengeful God threatening us with tit for tat. If you don't do this, I won't do this. If you don't forgive, I'm not forgiving you. That's not what is going on here at all. Remember, this is a tender, loving Father looking at you and I as a child that he cares deeply for, who knows how devastating, how destructive hanging on to bitterness or anger or hatred is. And you say, I don't want you to go through that. I want us to enjoy the relationship. And as long as you're hanging on to that stuff, you can't enjoy that relationship or ours. So you need to let go of it. You need to let go. Turn it over to me. And you know, that's hard, especially if it's a person who hasn't admitted. So there are times where you just say, okay, this is yours, Father. I let this go. You deal with this. You know what needs to happen, but I can't hang on to it anymore because it's destroying me, and it's destroying my relationship with you, and I don't want that to happen. So this is a father who says, I don't want your souls to hurt this way. So let it go. Let it go. I want to give us a moment because these are big things. Just, I want you to spend a little time. We've been talking about prayer. Talk to your Father for a few moments. Just quiet in your own heart. And it's very possible, as we walk through this section, this passage, a name came to mind. Maybe more than one. And man, as soon as that name hit your mind, started getting a little tight in here, you know, and started having a little trouble concentrating because that started replaying the tape of what they did to you. And so this is one of the times where you go, Father, you know what I'm dealing with here. And you know how hard it is. And I feel like there was such an injustice. But I know you're a just God. and I got to let go of this because it's messing me up. It's messing us up. And I don't want that to happen anymore. So, Father, I'm turning this over to you. I'm forgiving this person. I'm going to let it go. I'll let you sort it out. But I want to let it go because I don't want anything to interfere with me and you, Heavenly Father. So take a few moments, talk to God, and I'll close this in prayer, and Kyle will come and lead us in one more song. It's a tough one, Lord, because you know, especially when we feel like there's been an injustice done where someone has hurt us and sometimes deliberately brought us harm or said something about us that they shouldn't have, or a whole host of ways that just grab onto our heart and make us so angry. And Lord, I mean, justice in our mind demands payback, and well, those things take over us. They control us. And worse than that, they hurt our relationship with you. And so, Lord, you're just coming and saying, hey, make my relationship with you the biggest priority here. And turn it loose. Let go of it. Especially, it's clear in your word, if it's someone who's asked for forgiveness, that shouldn't even been a hesitation. But it's still hard sometimes. But then those individuals, who they don't claim to admit that they did anything wrong. But we can't let that grab hold of us. That bitterness that takes over and destroys our peace and our satisfaction and our happiness every day because it rears its ugly head. And so, Lord, as we thought, as that person came to mind, right now we're just honestly telling you that we're having a hard time, and so we're asking you to help us to let go, to turn it over to you. And Lord, give us a peace about that. And Lord, even when we do that, it rears up again, and we have to just remind ourselves, nope, I let that go. I'm not gonna think about that anymore. So Lord, just give us that strength and ability to rest in you as the just God who will do what's right, so that we can have a good relationship with you, the relationship that reminds us every day of what a tender, loving Father we have. Thanks for allowing us and knowing that we need to think through this. Help us to find the strength with your help to do what's right here. We pray these things in your Son's name. Amen.